I said a moment ago, the Senate could not pass laws, and that's right. But the Senate could issue opinions. Senatus consulta, opinions of the Senate. Now, in this culture of deference, when the Roman Senate knew that a certain issue was before the Roman people, a certain issue was being debated, and they said, it is our opinion that this course of action or that course of action should be followed, this carried enormous weight. It had no binding legal force. A senatus consultum didn't have binding legal force, but it carried a tremendous amount of weight. Now let's imagine the Senate. The oldest member rises and speaks first. And then, one after another, the senators speak on an issue. Now imagine one of the younger members of the Senate, one of the newer members of the Senate. Is he going to stand up and say, well, old man, that's all very well and good, but I have a new idea. Let's do something different. No, no. The younger man, to make his way, is going to stand up and say, oh, that's brilliant. Yes, I agree completely with that. And there would be a tendency for the old men, Senatus Senex, Senate, body of old men, to govern. And old would mean old by age, but also old by experience. The tribes and the centuries caucused before voting. Before they actually began casting their ballots, they caucused. That's another good Roman word, caucus. And in the caucus, the seniores always spoke and voted before the juniores. Seniores, the older men. Juniores, juniors, the younger men. Well, once again, when the younger men watched what their older, more experienced fellows were doing, were saying, and how they were voting, it was in their interest to go along. They want to make their way in this society. They want someday to be important and influential people, you see? So they're not going to be rebellious. At least for a long, long time in Roman society, they were not going to be rebellious. Patron-client bonds were critical to the operation of Roman society as a whole. Rich and powerful people had large numbers of people in various degrees of obligation to them. These might be people whom they had helped financially. These might be people whom they had helped in a court of law. These might be people for whom a generation or two earlier, their families had done a favor, had done a good turn. The patron-client bond could be formed for lots and lots of reasons. But influential people at Rome, remember those tribes, districts, and centuries, wealth groups, many influential people at Rome could count on the votes of a large number of people who owed them something. Now, that again is not written into the Roman Constitution, but it's there, and it's a crucial part of how it worked. And if you think about it for just a moment, that's not unrelated to this culture of deference to which I referred a moment ago. Now, one of the interesting results of this set of social and political values that attach to the Constitution we described, a remarkably small number of families, about 100, provided almost all the officers of the Roman Republic during the first 400 years of its existence. Now, that's a very small number of families. Historians, therefore, speak about a senatorial aristocracy, because the point is, of course, that the higher magistrates then entered the Senate. Now, we could say, in a way, that this is perhaps understandable before the attainment of something like political equality and democracy with the Licinian-Sextian laws in 287. It's a little harder to understand thereafter as a political fact, just as a fact of logic, you see. But it's easier to understand when we reflect on this culture of deference. The Romans simply paid deference to certain people. There were two Roman political values that it seems to me help us a little bit more to understand this process. The first of these is auctoritas. Now, that's a Latin word from which we get the English word authority. In the Roman context, this laid great stress on the eminence, the inner dignity of the greatest citizens. The idea was that certain people were intrinsically more eminent than others, and therefore ought to be observed, to be followed, to be listened to. It wasn't a matter of wealth, it wasn't a matter of birth, it wasn't a matter of power, it was a matter of inner qualities. You see? Now, even to this day, we draw a distinction between authority and power. That's a Roman distinction. Authority is legitimacy. Power is mere brute force. You see? And to the Romans, that legitimacy flowed from certain inner qualities of people, not simply because they had a lot of power. The second issue, the second principle to which I want to draw your attention, is the mos maiorum, the custom of our ancestors.